Well, to breaking news now from Lebanon, where just in the last few moments, the presidency has announced that a cabinet has been formed, ending a 13-month deadlock that worsened the country's economic situation. Lebanon has been devastated by poverty, fuel shortages and inflation. This is the third attempt to form a government since the port explosion in Beirut just over a year ago now. Well, let's go to our correspondent, Zeina Khoda. She's in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, for us. Zeina, just what do we know about this new cabinet?
Well, like you mentioned, 13 months of political wrangling. Lebanon's feuding politicians have now agreed how to distribute power in a new cabinet. But most of the faces are familiar. They're familiar to the Lebanese people, with many people telling us that this is not a break from the past. This is not the nonpartisan cabinet of specialists that the international community has long demanded in order to unlock aid, because you need these specialists to carry out reforms. But clearly, the political parties who have been governing this country for decades are refusing to let go of that power. And right now, so much is at stake. Yes, politicians over recent years, over the past decades, it usually takes them months to form a government. But like I said, so much is at stake. We're just outside a gas station. People wait here for hours to get fuel. There's shortages of almost everything in this country, medicine, fuel, there's hyperinflation. So these politicians were losing support among their constituents. And they realized this. At the end of the day, they will have to make compromises among themselves. But it's not just that. There has been a lot of pressure from the international community, in particular France and the United States. These two countries did not want to see a security breakdown. The army has been suffering. The head of the army has been saying that my soldiers want to leave duty. They're looking for other jobs because their salaries are no longer enough. So pressure from the international community and a realization among those who have been holding power for decades that they really have little choice. They need to come together to form this government. But in no way is this crisis over.
Zeina, we saw some protests over the course of the last year around the frustration about this whole situation. Do you think that people there are going to be welcoming the cabinet announcement today, just in the sense that things are moving along?
Well, people are indifferent. They're tired. I mean, one man just told us here, so what? Now what? It's the same faces. It's the same people. It's the same politicians who have been accused of corruption, for wasting public funds. What the new government needs to do, it's really facing a lot of challenges. It needs to come up with an economic recovery plan. It needs to negotiate with the IMF on a bailout plan, because the state is nearly bankrupt. It can no longer import fuel, and people can no longer afford. In the next few days, they're going to lift subsidies because the central bank is running out of foreign currency reserves. And when you lift subsidies, then there's a price hike in fuel, which means a price hike in all commodities and goods in this country. People's salaries are worthless. The local currency lost 90% of its value. The minimum wage is now worth 35%. But I must say, with the news of the government formation, it has some positive effect on the markets. The exchange rate, the lira, has gained in value. A slight, this morning it was exchanging at approximately 19,000 liras to the dollar. Now it's exchanging at approximately 16,000 to the dollar. But the official exchange rate is 1,500. So it just shows you how bad the economic situation has been. This political paralysis, how it has had a grave consequence on the economy. But a lot of people really do not have faith that a lot is going to change. They believe that these politicians are only eyeing the upcoming elections in spring. There's going to be parliamentary elections in spring. And on the back of their mind, all they want to do is maintain support among their own constituents. So people are not optimistic, but there is no doubt this country is in desperate need of a government in order to start talking with the IMF to bring in much-needed hard currency, because it is a daily struggle. It is a daily... People are sleeping in their cars. They sleep overnight, waiting in line for hours just to get fuel.
Zeina, I believe we are getting some more details about the cabinet appointments very shortly. But I do want to ask you, you mentioned there the need for international engagement and foreign aid in terms of trying to help the economy in Lebanon. What will foreign powers be looking for within this new cabinet?
Well, foreign foreign powers will want to see these politicians agree to reform state institutions. They will need laws to be put in place to fight corruption. Let's go back to a year ago after that Beirut port explosion. France really took the lead in international efforts to try to find a solution to the economic crisis. What Macron demanded back then, and really what the West was demanding, is that there's a new cabinet, new faces, politicians not linked to the political powers that have been governing this country. That didn't happen. The ruling alliance, they held on to power. They said that we won at the ballot box. We're not going to give up power. They felt that this was some sort of a conspiracy because Lebanon is entangled in the regional power struggle between the United States and Iran. Those who hold power now are from the pro-Iran camp, and they felt that the international community is pressing for change in order to shift the balance of power. It seems the international community realized that these people are not going to give up power, and so they're now agreeing to a capable government. That's the word they use, capable, instead of independent, nonpartisan specialists. But capable means they're going to have to agree on to reform. So we're going to have to wait to see if they do that or if they're just buying time, keep the country afloat, bring in international aid just until the upcoming elections. Lebanon, people here know that they're caught in the middle of this power struggle in the region. So any deal here will have to be linked to an outside deal. But the fact that they came up with a government means domestically and internationally, the country was collapsing, and they know that so much was at stake. You can hear people shouting. There's so much tension in the streets, fist fights. People have been killed at gas stations fighting over fuel. There's no medicine. Cancer patients cannot find medicine in this country. And those in power can no longer provide to the people. And they know if this continues, they're going to lose the upcoming election.
Zeina, we've just been watching there as you've been speaking some of those images from that port blast a year ago. Obviously, there was a huge amount of devastation. I know our viewers will remember that. I'm curious, has there been a sense of recovery there? There was a lot of international aid that flowed in, and there were concerns about how that was going to be spent. Do people feel like they've received the help that they needed in the immediate aftermath of that?
The government, the state, has been absent since that Beirut port explosion. Thousands of homes were damaged, destroyed. People lost their lives. People lost their livelihoods. People lost their jobs. International aid was forthcoming. There were international aid conferences over the past year. But it wasn't enough. It's not enough. A lot of people have had to close down their businesses. And things really just got worse from that port explosion. I mean, right now, this fuel crisis, I can tell you that businesses are closing down because they don't have there's no state electricity. The state no longer provides electricity more than an hour, 2 hours a day. So people need to rely on private generators. That means you need to buy diesel. And many people cannot afford to buy diesel on the black market because it's just not available. People are losing their jobs. There's a brain drain. Professionals
Zeina,
are leaving.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you there. The prime minister is now speaking about the new cabinet. Let's listen in.
13 months has passed since the previous government handed down a resignation. And I seize the opportunity to extend all appreciation to the former Prime Minister Hassan Diab and the challenges he had faced. As a matter of practice, the newly appointed head of government will read out a written statement laying out his plan for the upcoming government. However, today you are facing an exceptional situation. That's why it is a word from the heart. It is no secret that our situation is dire. It is said that it is known to the young and the old. The young is suffering as much as the old. Newborns are facing shortage of milk. Children are in surprise, whether they are in confusion, whether or not they would be able to go to school. Children are asking their parents, my cousin, my neighbor have all left the country. Why are we staying here? Fathers are silent, simply helpless. Even lifetime savings deposit in a bank cannot be released. Even his daily, monthly wages are one-tenth of its purchase power. It is a dire situation. The majority of the Lebanese have left the country. All cannot hold back their tears. A woman, a mother, cannot attend to the needs of her children. We all feel the dire situation. It is known to all and each and one. However, it is not impossible if we all come together. Today, with the president, we consumed maximum time and effort to form the government. Nothing is perfect, and no man is infallible. However, we will join forces. We will roll up our sleeves, work together day and night to brave through this dire situation. We will contact all the world states and international organizations simply to provide for the Lebanese, to secure the most basic necessities to the Lebanese. We will roll up our sleeves. We will work hard. We are all Lebanese. We are not serving one faction or one party at the expense of the other. We will all act in patriotism with the Lebanese spirit, guided by the charter of our constitution and the law. We need our neighboring countries, the Arab brotherly and friendly countries. Lebanon is part of this region, and it is part of the world. We are proud of our brothers, who I am certain will not fail us. I hope that we can bring our country back on its feet. I hope that this government will be able to function, at least put an end to the bleeding, and we all come together, one hand, to bring back Lebanon on its feet, proud and prosperous. I pray to God Almighty to guide our steps forward, and God bless you all.
Well, you've been listening there to Prime Minister Najib Mikati speaking about the new formation of a Lebanese cabinet after 13 months of deadlock. He's acknowledged just how hard it's been for the Lebanese people and really gave a sense of crisis, just how many people have left the country as well. Zaina, let's speak to our correspondent. She's been listening in as well. Zaina, there's been a real focus there on getting international help in.
Well, there's no other way. It's a cash-strapped state. The currency, the central bank has run out of foreign currency reserves. You heard the prime minister talk about people's savings, which are locked in banks. People have not been able to access their accounts for 2 years now. And if they do withdraw money from the bank, they withdraw it in the local currency at a very reduced rate. So people's savings are also worthless. Salaries are worthless. People are hoping for the best. The prime minister's said we need to stop the bleeding because the economic crisis is deepening every single day. But what this country needs is an economic recovery plan. He talked about reaching out to their brothers and asking for aid. But many people will say unless they agree on some sort of economic recovery plan, agree to reforms, agree to fight corruption, there's a bloated public sector, which these politicians have been using really to give jobs to their own supporters. All this needs to stop in order for the country to get back on its feet. So whether or not these politicians are able and willing to do that, and he said that we're all Lebanese and we're all united, but the reality is this is a deeply divided country and it's far from being united.
Indeed. And Zaina Khoda there for us on the streets of Beirut, the Lebanese capital, where she's been watching the anger and frustration develop over the last 13 months. Thanks so much, Zaina. Well,